Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Amen. It's not us. It's no matter how we try, we don't have enough goodness, if you will, to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so we want to look at just some of the first three, love, joy, peace. Now we're going to work on long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. But I'll read the whole thing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So, like I said, we started off with love, joy, and peace. And we went through the word agape is the word used for love here. And the word agape, of course, we know is that unconditional love. Now, of course, that unconditional love really comes from God. And he has to teach us that. Amen? Because how many know we don't love unconditionally? We have conditions all over the place. We say, if you don't do this, if you don't get this, if you don't make this, if you don't handle that, I'm not going to love you no more. That's not the love that God wants out of his people. Amen? But I'm not going to rehearse those points. I'm going to leave those alone. But I want to, before I get into the long-suffering, the kindness, and the gentleness part, or goodness, I want to go back to a scripture in John chapter 12, verse 24 through 26. So let's go there. And as we're going there, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us in this season, in this time, in this moment. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. Because you said if we're just hearers and not doers, we're like people who look at ourselves in a mirror and forget what it is we look like. And that really means that we forget that we need to be transformed, but when we walk away, we don't think we need it anymore. And Lord, let us never fall into that position, that we never think we need to be continually transformed by your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray for you to give us your word on this subject in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So first, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 23 says, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. But this is where I want us to listen and get. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain, or some translations actually say produces much fruit. And he says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now you might say again, Pastor, what in the world does that have to do with the fruit of the Spirit? Well, he says, unless a grain of wheat dies, it remains alone. But he says, but if it does die, it produces much grain, or like I said, some translation says produces much fruit. So as we go through the fruit of the Spirit, remember that you have to die in order to produce this fruit. Now, a lot of people, when you hear that phrase, you must die, a lot of people shrink back and they say, well, what does that mean? Because I know Jesus doesn't want me to just fall out and die, because that's not going to help anybody. Amen? Well, what does it mean to die in spiritual things? It means that you give up your right to something that you have a right or are entitled to. Did you hear that? You give up a right to something that you have a right to or that you're entitled to. You have surrendered it, in other words, or in the terms of Scripture, you have died to that right. Amen? And let's look at, before we get into the long suffering, let's go with one more Scripture, because I want this to be embedded in our understanding. Matthew 18, 22 through 35. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but we want to just look at some of it. So Matthew 18, 25 through 35. And that this is the parable of the unjust servant. Amen? Now everybody knows that parable, right? The servant owed. Let me see if I can find it here. Verse 24 says, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Okay, so let's go back to the definition of dying. The king had the right to do what he's about to do. Amen? Back then, if somebody owed you money, they went to what's called debtor's prison. And we don't really have debtor's prison except for in one area. Everybody say one area. And that is back child support. They will put you in jail if you do not pay back child support. So that is debtor's prison. So if you know anybody who's been struggling with that, that's the last reserve of debtor's prison. And I'm not trying to make a political statement. I'm just making a fact, okay? So he goes on and says, therefore the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, think about it. He owes 10,000 talents of gold, which amounts to so much money. You know, some say it's billions, but it doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to pay it. It doesn't matter what it is. But he says, Lord, if you just be patient with me, I'll pay it. And the master of that servant, moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. So this is, he had the right to sell him for it, but he chose not to. He died to that debt. Are you with me on this? Because once he forgives the debt, he doesn't get it. Amen? So that debt dies, and it's no longer alive. Now, let's just play spiritual with our spiritual imagination. So here's a guy who owed so much money he couldn't pay it, and all of a sudden now he doesn't owe anything. And then he thinks about all the people that owe him. So I'm thinking, and, you know, just indulge me for a minute. I'm thinking at this point, he's saying, now, if I go collect any money, it's mine to keep. I don't have to pay anybody. I don't owe anybody any money. That's probably his attitude. Now, I may be stretching it because this is only a parable. But you can imagine him thinking this way. So he says, from now on, everything I collect, I get to keep. I can finally get ahead. So he goes out and finds people that owe him money. And they say the same thing to him as he said to the king. But because his heart has not died to Christ, he has no compassion about what they're asking him. And he forgot, just like James said, he was in the mirror, saw that he needed change, got the change, and then he walked away and forgot he had needed the change. So he goes to his own friends, his servants, his fellow servants and says, pay me what you owe me. And 100 denarii, and if you look through the scriptures, the denarii was the daily wage. If you remember, Jesus went out in the street and he agreed to pay everybody a denarii that for that day's work, right? So we're talking about 100 days' wages, okay? So he doesn't even owe him a year's worth of wages, but he says, I'm not settling for less because I can finally get ahead. And like I said, if you take my analogy or my embellishment a little, you can understand why he would want to collect this money. Now he thinks he can finally get ahead. This is what happens when you get into a flow that's not in the spirit. You try to make your way instead of seeing that God had already made a way. So as a result, there was a resurrection that took place. And the resurrection was the 10,000 talents that he owed. And he resurrected that debt and said, all right, if that's the way you're going to be, that's the way I'm going to be. And then he was put in debtor's prison. And you might say, well, Pastor, again, what does this have to do with fruit? There was no fruit in his life to help him to understand that he needs to have the same compassion that God showed in this analogy of God. The king is, of course, an analogy of God towards him. So let's go back to the fruit of the Spirit now. So the first fruit that we're going to talk about is long-suffering. Now, some translations translate long-suffering as patience. I think the old King James does patience. But it doesn't really matter how the word you look at. It's the same concept. It's an endurance, a constancy, a steadfastness, a perseverance, especially, get this, especially on as shown in bearing troubles and ills. Forbearance, meaning that you don't get what you think you should get. You have to wait for it. That takes God changing your heart to understand that you have to be patient. Now, we always talk about we need to be patient. I need more patience. But you know, you can't be patient unless you're put into a position of anxiety. Amen? Patience doesn't come by just sitting here waiting for it. Say, yeah, if I wait until 2 o'clock today, I'll have more patience. No. It comes when you are placed in a position that you should get something that you feel you deserve, but it hasn't come yet. And what happens when that happens to us? What happens? What do we do? Let me make it real. Your packages are supposed to be here on Tuesday, and it's Wednesday. Where's that tracking number? How come them people ain't got these packages here? They're going to have to give me a credit or a coupon or something because I've been waiting a whole day. Now, come on now. What happened to patience? Yes, of course you were required. It was supposed to come. Yes, you're supposed to, you deserve to have it on Tuesday, but can't you be patient and wait till Wednesday? And I know that's a little thing. That's a little thing. Very little. But that's where it all starts. It starts in the car when people cut you off. Or how come they won't go at the light? The light's green. Let's go. Let's go. Or, you know, people stopping for green lights. That's really dangerous because, you know, that's the ones that like, I think those are the ones that set up the rear end accidents. But, you know, the light turns is green and they drive up to it and stop. And I'm thinking, come on now, let's go, the light's green. And then the light changes and they go through and you miss it. That's patience has to call you to relax, calm down. It's not that big of a deal. Where are you going anyway? You in a rush for no to go. My parents used to say, in a hurry to go nowhere. You're just in a hurry. But again, those are little things. But the big things come in when you're praying and you're asking God for something. And the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. That's in James. Let's go to that real quick. That wasn't one of my scriptures, but let's go to it anyway. It says, James, you know, like I said, James was a pretty controversial fella. I remember when I was at my old church, Pastor, there was, I guess there was a debate as to whether or not to add the book of James to the Bible. But he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, which is another word for what? Long suffering. But let patience have its perfect work, that you, everybody say me, may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So patience produces perfection, or if you don't like that word perfection, some people don't like it, think of maturity. If you notice, this is not always the case, but as you get older, chronologically older, meaning you age, you learn to become more patient. But you don't always become patient in everything. And this is the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. We exhibit some of these qualities sometimes, but we don't always do it all the time. Amen? We don't love everybody all the time. We don't always have joy. I hope we've gotten to the place we have joy. And remember, we said joy is not shouting, dancing, happy. Joy is the assurance that you and Jesus are now on the same team. And so there's no, you can walk around and have a bad day, but if you think about Jesus and you are on the same team, that's enough to get happy about on the inside. The Bible said Jesus rejoiced in spirit one time. And he says, Lord, I thank you that you've revealed these things to babes. And you can rejoice when you have salvation, because nobody can take that away from you. So that's the joy that never changes. That's the joy unspeakable. That's the joy that's full of glory. That's the joy that'll keep you from depression. That's the joy that'll always give you hope for tomorrow, because you know who holds the future. That's the fruit. But we're not always patient. We're not always kind. We haven't even got to those yet. But we are kind sometimes. And we have to learn to allow the Spirit of God to mold our character so that we're more kind than we are less kind. We're more patient than we are less impatient. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half.
So let's move on from patience to kindness. Or some of the translations also translate it gentleness. But it's defined as goodness, excellence, uprightness. They say it's an inherent goodness, but you know that's not true. There's no such thing. The only inherent goodness or kindness we have comes from the Spirit of God. That's inherent because now we've been created a new creation. We're new creations now. So now what we inherited from our old Adam nature goes by the wayside, and he's inherently put all these fruit in our lives so that we can be kind to people, to be good or gentle with people. It's a challenge to be kind sometimes, amen? So much so that we can't even think about it. Some folks, we just don't think we should always be kind to people. That doesn't mean you give them what they want. I don't
mean to be upset. I
get so tired of this perspective that thinks just because I'm nice, I have to do everything you want me to do. Or if I love you, I have to allow you to do everything you want to do. And we talked about love. Love is, the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he does what to? He chastens, is the old King James, but which is another word for disciplines. So that means if you love somebody, you're going to tell them that they're doing wrong. That doesn't mean you don't love them. That just means you're trying to help them because you love them. Amen? But the world wants us to think if you love people, you can't tell them that they're doing wrong. But that's not what God calls love. God says, he whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And then he goes on to say, and he uses crude language, if you will. He says, if you're not disciplined by him, in the old King James, he used the B word. I won't use the B word, but he calls you illegitimate children. So if you won't be corrected, you're not his child. But if you will be corrected, you're his child. Are you with me here? So anybody who thinks that they can do anything they want to do without correction, the Bible says you're not a child of God. Because his children are always correctable, if you want to use that term. So we always have to be careful, because God wants us to be correctable, approachable, teachable, moldable. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And the Bible says the clay can't say to the potter, what are you doing? There's no capacity for the clay to say that to the potter. But let him mold you. And as you're trying to learn to be kind, let him make you kind towards people. Even the ones that are not, don't deserve kindness. And there's a lot of folk like that. We all know them. Some folks in the lines at stores and I mean, you name it. They're around you. But don't make it a big deal. It's not a big deal. See, the thing about God wants us to understand that everything in this life is just temporary. So it basically, he said, it's not that big of a deal because it's going to pass. Everybody say, it's going to pass. It is. Your bank account's going to pass. It's going to pass either while you're here or after you die. But it's going to pass. So don't get all wound up in that kind of stuff. Be kind to people. Be gentle with people. Gentleness is when you're trying to help somebody and you're not short with them. You're tolerant. You wait for them. You indulge them, if you will. Because it's not, and it's hard. We all know it's hard helping people that need help and being indulgent when you can help them do it a little faster. Amen. Everybody should have been saying amen at that point. Because that's when it gets testy. It's like, look, if you just do this, we could be done with this. Right? I mean, come on, we've all said that. I know I have. I've said it to my wife, and then I got to come back 2 minutes later. Honey, I'm sorry. I was a little edgy for no reason. But God's really been dealing with me about being edgy for no reason. A lot of times I'm edgy because I don't want to do what I'm about to do. I'm going to just be honest. I don't want to do it. and I don't want instruction while I don't want to do something. But I'm going to get it. So I got to learn to have a better attitude. And God has been telling me, your attitude stinks, Harold. And you better change it. And I'm searching. Help me, Lord. You've got to put me on radar so that I know when my bad attitude is sneaking up on me. Most people would say, well, you know, if I just got a bad attitude, you got to live with it. No, God don't take that answer. and if you want to get whooped by God, keep acting up. Just like your parents used to say, and I used to tell this. There's a friend of mine, we went to school together. We used to play around, and he used to say, yeah, his dad used to say, I told you, and I told you. He says, now I'm going to show you. And that's what God will do. He'll tell you, and he'll tell you. Now, he'll keep telling you. But at some point, he's got to let you see that if you continue down that alley is not a good way to go. That's not going to get you to the destination that you want to get to. So I learned that if I don't turn my attitude around, I'm going to go down a road I don't want to go down. So I have to learn to be kind and gentle. Everybody say kind and gentle. And that takes the Spirit of God. And this is how he does it. He talks to us. Everybody say, God talks to me. I don't know where the world has come. And so I'm talking about the church world. It gets to the place where they say God doesn't speak anymore. And God said in the scripture, did the one that made your mouth not know how to use a mouth? Come on now. He's the one that makes you talk, and you haven't shut your mouth. Why do you think God won't talk? And he whispers. That's the problem, because our ears are hard of hearing. We have to be retrained to hear him again. But he's speaking all the time, folks. We know he speaks through his word, but he doesn't just speak through his word. He speaks to you when you're walking down the street, trying to mold and make you into the image of his son. That's what he's doing. That's why he tells you not to do what you're doing. Stay away from this. Do this. Avoid that. Don't deal with that person. If you do deal with that person, do it this way. But he's speaking, folks. We just have to give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. But we know that that is the way God teaches us. The Bible even says this. You have an anointing that you don't need anybody to teach you. That's one of the most bizarre passages in the scripture. And that, of course, that anointing is the Holy Spirit. But he's saying, what he's saying there is that there is a spirit in you that will teach you. But unfortunately, we don't know him well enough. So we have to be trained to learn him. Amen? But that doesn't mean you go off and you can do your own thing either. That's the other thing. People get it. Yeah, I've got the Spirit of God. I don't need nobody. I don't need to go to church. Look, you got to go to church. Go back and look at the Old Testament. The reason they failed, because they didn't know the word. Josiah, who was the best king, even better than David, cleaning out the house of God, and they find the Bible. Hey, look what we found. What is that? I have no idea what that is. They started reading it. Oh, yeah, now I know what it is. This is what we were supposed to be doing for 400 years. And that's why the children of Israel couldn't stay right, because nobody's teaching them nothing. It was all word of mouth. And I mean, they had mixed everything in with everything. I mean, if you go to Ezekiel, God said, let me show you something. He took them to the temple. The priests were bowing to false gods in the temple. He said, but hold on, let me show you some more.
And he took them to all these different places. These were the spiritual leaders doing all sorts of unspiritual things because they had not read the scripture. That's why church is in existence. Thank God for music. Thank God for activities. But the reason we come to this place is to hear the word of God. It's not about, I remember somebody said, why do we have to have preaching? Why can't we just do music? Because then we would be like the children of Israel. We wouldn't know our right hand from our left. And come on, folks, look around you. The church acts like they don't know the right hand from the left. When you hear some of the reports, it's like, and there's another church ordained a transgendered pastor. Because they won't read the scripture. The scripture says men don't dress like women and women don't dress like men. The Bible says that. So he dealt with this long ago. Why? Because they were doing it then. This is not new stuff. Amen? But because we are ignorant, I don't mean that in a bad way. Please don't. He called me ignorant. No, me ignorant means without knowledge. You didn't know. And because you don't know, people will try to help you to know what they think you should know. But the church has to know, because the Bible says the church has to be the pillar and the ground of truth. But in order for truth to be molded in us, we've got to get the fruit of the Spirit in us. Amen? And so the last one is goodness. And goodness is to be good, of course, to do good. The personal quality with stress on the kindly side of goodness rather than the righteousness. In other words, this is more of a quality or a characteristics of doing something. Again, this talks about intrinsic goodness, but there is no such thing in a sinner. You, and this is the thing, this is why the church gets misunderstood. Because we say that if you're a sinner, you can't do good. You can do good. But your good is not credited to you for salvation. That's the misunderstanding that the world has. They think that if I do enough good, and really that's not the world, that's everybody. That's the religious world as well as the secular world. Because every religion feels if they do enough good, they get to go to heaven. Amen? I was watching this old movie one time, and this guy, I can't remember, he woke up and it wasn't burning. And he said, oh, I made it. That's not how you make it. If you don't know you made it before you died, you didn't make it. You didn't make it. Yeah, but that's what the world believes. If you do enough good deeds, then you're going to make it. But I asked this question. How many good deeds do you have to do to undo just one lie? How many? Tell me. How much does it cost to cover up one lie? There is no price but the blood of Jesus. That's the only way your sins can be forgiven. So when it comes to goodness, it's the doing those things that are pleasing, morally excellent, as relating to other believers and other people, really. So you look at the commandment, the two commandments, love God and then love people, or love others as we love ourselves, right? That is the goodness that comes out of what we are in Christ. Now, a lot of people don't understand that the goodness, the Bible even says this, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And that seems like a contradiction, because repentance means you're sorry. Doesn't it? I'm sorry for what I've done. So how can goodness lead to repentance? Because you recognize how good God is, and you say, God, I recognize how bad I am. No matter how much I think I'm doing good, I can't measure to where you are. And that's the concept of God that we have to get. God is really too high to get to. But Jesus brought him down so that we could touch him. Amen? And he became that bridge. As the Bible, as the one song says, he'll be a bridge, so let him take you over. Literally take you over the bridge and take you over personally. Amen? Amen. So we're going to close here. But remember, let's go back to the first step thing. Dying is where you get this fruit. And remember, dying means giving up rights that you deserve and have a right to, but you surrender because you want the bigger gift of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for showing us the fruit. You know, we read this so much, and we ask, Lord God, that you would grow this stuff in us, but sometimes we don't even know what we're asking because we have such a shallow understanding that this stuff cost you your life. And can we just understand that you died for us to just receive a minute portion of what we have? It was so costly. It was so precious. It couldn't be paid with money. But you paid the price, and we thank you so much for that. Words can't express our gratitude that we have for you and what you've done. And so, Lord, will you please work in us love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, and goodness. Work these things in us. Correct us when we're wrong. Teach us your right ways so that we can't stray from it. Your Bible, the word says that you speak to us as we walk. You say, this is the way. Walk in it. Give us those ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. And Lord, let us not cop out and say, well, God's not speaking today. No, we're just not listening. And we want to hear your voice. Because you said your children hear your voice, and we don't follow strangers. But I'm under the impression that many of us have followed strangers. And we've allowed strangers to influence us. So let us renounce those strange relationships and get back to hearing what your voice is saying to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, under the sound of my voice, I pray for those that need your healing touch. Lord, you said you can even send your word to heal. So, Lord, under the sound of my voice, I pray for those that need physical healing here. But, Lord God, also I send your word to those that may need healing. We lift up Lisa that is dealing with cancer. We command that growth on her spine to be healed, Lord God. There is no gap of time and space for you because you're everywhere at all times. So touch us that are here and touch those that are not here. Jeff, Lord, he needs a touch in his body. Shanae needs you to drive out the confusion in her mind. Marcus, Robert, James, they need to be healed. Elena needs your deliverance, oh God. And many, many more. Jacob, Lord, he needs you to touch his mind. Bring him back to reality, Lord. Just like Nebuchadnezzar was out in the field eating grass like an animal, but one day you touched him and he came to himself and realized that you are the God of the heavens and the earth. You can do it, oh God. We take the limits off of you. In the mighty name of Jesus,
Lord, we speak to body parts. We speak to our spines. We speak to our immune system. We speak to our brains. We speak to our hands, our shoulders, our every part of us, our eyes, our ears. And we command them to function the way you created them. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that your word is true. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap as we close.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.